Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday, I was preaching one of the most important message in my life. I love it so much, last Sunday. If you did not hear the sermon last Sunday, I would like to encourage you to get the CD and listen. The sermon of last Sunday was Come Home for the Purpose of God. We were talking about a man who died named Bill. And he led many hundred people to Christ. And we learned from the testimony of people who went to his funeral ceremony that number one, we need to have a tenacious love. Number two, we need to show love to people in a practical way. Show the demonstration of God's grace in a very practical way. We learned from last Sunday also that we need to make the most out of every opportunity. You remember that? And I forget to say one thing at the end of the sermon. That we are not going to sit on the lazy boy chair in our home, but we're going to go out to tell the gospel to people. But you may think this way, that if I go out to tell people the gospel and they don't respond, what's going to happen? I fail. I tell you right now, there is no failure in the kingdom of God. There's no failure. Because whatever you do for God, you sow the seed. What happened? I did not tell you last Sunday about the sermon. I forgot. I was in hurry. So I forgot to tell one story in that sermon. Is that a man was sitting at home and suddenly God spoke to him saying, go out to that businessman, your friend, and share the gospel with him. He was a little bit scared. He said, oh, this man is tough. He would not listen to me. But he did it anyway. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. He went to his office, his friend's office, and began to share the gospel, who Jesus is and why we need Jesus. The businessman said, no, I don't want God. I'm fine. I'm happy. I don't want God. He went home. This man went home with discouragement. But many years later, the man who shared the gospel became a pastor of a church. Actually, he's very famous right now. He became a pastor of a church. And one day after he finished his preaching, he went down and a man walked to him and shook his hand and said, you know, I just joined your church, become a member of your church. And I want to thank you for sharing the gospel with me. And the pastor said, I never met you before. How did I share the gospel with you personally? He said this, I was a plumber. That day when you went into that office, sharing the gospel with that businessman, I was under the table, under the chair, under the big table, repairing the pipe. And I was listening to all of your sharing. And at the end, I was thinking this way to myself that, oh, my life is going nowhere. I think I need to try Jesus. So while you were sharing, I invited Jesus into my heart. And I got saved. And now I serve God in your church. Let's give a hand to God. Amen. So, you never waste the word of God. Amen. You sow the seed. I remember when I was 7 years old, I had a neighbor. They call me every day to go to their house and they share the Bible with me. After 1 year, I rejected. And I did not want to have to do anything with God. I was a Buddhist. But 17 years later, that word of God came back to me and I began to open my heart to the gospel and I got saved. Thank God for faithful people who share the gospel with other people. Amen. Are you going to be that person that one day when you go to heaven, say, God, I have done my best. I've shared the gospel with people. Amen? Amen. Today, I would like to continue the series of coming home or living for eternal purposes of God. Let me start with reading the scripture. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. The Bible said there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Amen. You can have your plan. But I want to tell you that only God's purpose and plan will stand forever. Living this life without the purpose of God will be almost like not living. If you walk on earth without the purpose of God, you just exist. I want to encourage you. A lot of people really, really have a hard time with their own life. You know why? Because they don't know their identity. They don't know why they're on earth here. They don't have the clue who they are. They don't know how important they are on earth. They don't know what roles they have on earth here. You will find your identity. You will find your roles and your importance when you discover the purposes of God in your life. Come home to the purpose of God. We need to live our life for God's purpose. 2 days ago, I have a discussion with Pastor Da that is interesting. I did not even know my grandfather. And I believe that a few years from now, after I and Pastor Da goes to be with the Lord, my great-grandchildren will not know about me. They may not even know who Pastor Lau is. In other words, what I try to say is this. We're living on earth just a short period. It's a temporary thing. And one day the next generation will not know about us anymore. Therefore, if you're going to live on earth here to make the maximum impact, we need to live our life for the purposes of God. Amen. Amen. So today I'm going to come up, starting the year 2006 with 5 questions to you. In the upper room, before Jesus went to the cross, he washed the feet of the disciple as a good example. And before he went to the cross, he said like this, in John chapter 13 verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. How many people want to be blessed? Yes. If you do what God tells you, his purpose on earth, you're going to live a life that brings the maximum impact on people around you. And you will live a life that will produce something that will last for eternity, that will last forever. You will not waste your life away. I don't want just to be a doctor, cut on people and make money and just have a new nice house, nice car. And after I die, I leave nothing to impact people for eternity. I want to live my life that can impact for eternity. Now, yesterday I went to a dinner with one of the brother and sister in the church. They invited us for dinner. And they have a few non-Christian friends sitting there. I look at their eyes and I say in my heart, God, I'm going to show love to these people. I want to bring them into the kingdom. I want them to go to heaven with me. I want to give the impact on them for eternity. Because otherwise, people are going to die anyway. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, they will not go to heaven and live forever in heaven. Amen. How many people want to live a maximum impact life on earth to bring people to eternity? Jesus said, if you do so, you shall be blessed. Today, before we start the year 2006, I want you to focus a little bit more. There are many good things to do, but we don't want good, we want the best. Good, better, and best. You can live for good things. Maybe your good things mean nice car, nice job, good salary, nice bonus money. Those are good. Don't take me wrong. Marry a nice woman is good. Amen. Marry a nice man is good. A gentleman is good. Those are nice things and good things, but I want you to get the best. So that if you can focus your life from today on, year 2006 on, focus on the purpose of God, you will live a very meaningful life. Amen. Amen. I want to read another scripture here in Psalm chapter 33, verse 11. His plans, mean God's plans, endure forever. His purposes last eternally. Amen. Amen. How many people want to live for something that will last for eternal? For eternally. Amen. I don't want to do just something that will last only a few years. I want to make impact that lasts eternally. And to live our life that will last for eternal purpose of God is to find His purpose for our life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Today is the first year 2006. Ponder the direction of your life, the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. My dear brother and sister, if you know the purpose of your life, you know God's purpose, it will direct you to walk in the right path. It will determine how you spend time, how you spend your money, how, where you're going to buy a house, who you're going to marry to, what job you're going to get. I give you one example about year 2002. I got an offer of a job down in Phoenix, Arizona. I declined it because that will not fulfill the purpose of God in my life, even though I get a good pay. I chose to stay in Seattle, even though I did not have a job yet at that time. The purpose of God for my life determines the direction I make in every aspect. Amen. The Bible says, consider, ponder the path of your feet. How are you going to live? What is the direction of your life? Proverbs chapter 17 verse 24, a discerning man or a wise man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. So a wise man knows the purpose of God and will keep everything in the view of God, will walk in the right direction. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 10, for I want you to understand what really matters. What really matters? A nice house? A nice job? Many cars? The title, the name, the position in a company? Many diplomas on the wall? What matters the most in your life? What really matters? I want to tell you right now, what really matters is to live for God's eternal purposes. Amen. How many people agree with me that living for God's purposes is the most important, that matter the most? I make that decision many years ago. I and my family, I and my household will live for the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. And when my value, your value will determine your success. I am successful or not doesn't depend on the world's opinion. I am successful or not is not determined by man's opinion. Amen. Amen. Man's opinion may say, oh, you need to have a big church and bunch of people. But if I can get one man in this church and live for God and go out and impact Mexico, I fulfill the purpose of God. And if that Mexico is shaken by the power of God, I fulfill the purpose of God. It's not about number. It's about living to fulfill the purpose of God. I told God every single day when I woke up, I said, God, I'm going to live for your purpose. I don't care what man say. I'm going to do what you say. I am here to please you, not to please any person. Amen. And my success is determined on your opinion, not man's opinion. And I settle it. And I don't care what people say about me. I care what you say about me, God. Amen. Amen. If you can live that life, you don't have to eat dinner this way. Bend your head down and don't look at anyone's face and don't want to touch anyone's eyes because you don't know your identity. You don't know why you are here on earth. You can sit, eat dinner with your face up and look at people's eyes and say, my security and my position is in God. I know what I'm doing. I'm living on earth here for the purpose of the King of all kings. And I know exactly what I'm doing on earth here. And I love you. And I'm not a second class citizen on earth. You can put your shoulder up and walk around and say, I know who I am in Christ. Amen. And I have a great purpose to live on this earth. Amen. I see a lot of young people nowadays, young students, they sit there, they eat food like this. And their eyes are so filled with depression. They don't know who they are in Christ. And when I look at those situations, they say, wake up! You are important! God created you for a purpose! God wants to use you! Wake up, put your chin up and say, I am important in the eyes of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The first question that I want to ask you. Five questions. Number one, what is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation of your life? Is the foundation of your life is your bank account? Is the foundation of your life the stock market? Your job, your education, your family, your boss, your pastors. What is the foundation? What is the center? What do you center your life around? What is the main core of your life? The main things in your life that you're going to live in your 2006 to until Jesus come back. And I want to give you the answer. I don't know what your answer is, but I'm going to give you. I want to be just upfront with you today. The core or the foundation and the center of your life should be the God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Jacob. And his name is Jesus Christ. My foundation is not on human being, not on denomination, not on church name, not on anything else. The foundation, the center of my life is his name is Jesus Christ. You live your life for Jesus from now on. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 4, King Asa say like this to the people of Judah. He told Judah to center their life in God, the God of their fathers, to do what the law said, to follow the commandment. What is your God? Whatever you center your life around is your God. Is God your job, your business? Is God, is your profession, your God? I want to tell you right now, those things, profession, job, money, bank account, stock market, people, even me, if you try to center your life around me, you're in trouble. Because all these things have no security and stability for you enough to hang on. The only foundation, the rock of salvation, the rock that will help you to stand firm in your life, all the days of your life, is Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Amen. You need to center your life around Jesus. Amen. That's what Paul say, that we need to move Jesus into the center of our heart. Paul say like this in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded, rooted, you root your life into him, grounded into him in love. Amen. Let us say at the same time in year 2006. Can I hear it louder? Yes. You seem very confident. In year 2006. And from now on, the Lord Jesus Christ is the center and the foundation of my life. Amen. And I want to tell you the blessing. If you have him as your foundation and your center, the Bible say, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You will not worry about tomorrow anymore. You know why? Because God is a good God. God will take care of you. God will look after you. God will lead you. God will really do everything to take care of people who have him as the center of their life. You have peace every day. Amen. Amen. And I have proven that for in the past 24 years. I have peace every single day because I know God will take care of me. Peace. Worry. People who worry a lot are those who don't have Christ as the center of their life, as the foundation of their life. Amen. That's the first question. What is the foundation of your life? I pray that Christ is the foundation. Second question of year 2006, before you start this year. What is the fruit of your life? What is the fruit? God cares about your character, who you are more than what you do. Amen. What kind of character you have? What kind of person you are? Who is your model? Who you gonna follow? You gonna be like some movie star in the magazine called People? Or you gonna be like a president of a country? Or you gonna be like your boss? I want to tell you right now, for me, in year 2006 and from now on, the fruit of my life will be like Jesus. Amen. I want to be his disciple. Amen. I am interested into becoming like Christ. Amen. How many people want to become like Christ? More and more. The Bible talk about this Jesus on the mountain. He preached about character of those who are like him. In Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. You need to be humble and poor in your spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thank God that you today chose to wake up in the morning and you're thirsty for the righteousness of God and come to church instead of just sleep in and rest because of the holiday. Blessed are the merciful. Are you full of mercy? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. So the Bible talks about character. What is your goal to shoot? What is the center that you want to shoot? You want to get there. What is the goal of your character? I want to become like Christ. I want to be more and more loving, more and more merciful, have more faith, more love, more joy. This year, my goal is that I want to see all the members become more generous, become givers. Not that I want money, because I don't take salary from church anyway. But I want to see you become like Christ. Our God is a generous God. Amen. And not only that, I want to see the joy of God flood this house. And people will be full of joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The joy of God is real. The laughter of God is real. I don't want to see God's people walk around with a long face. You don't really give glory to God if you walk around with depression, with sadness in your face. You need to have joy. Amen. Character of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says about the fruit that we need to have in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I read from the Amplified Bible. The work which his presence within accomplishes is love. Do you want to be loving people? Joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, and continence. Against such thing, there is no law that can bring a charge. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. So don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given, complementing your basic faith with good character. Everyone say, good character. I heard that many years ago, God anointed about 20 people to be a New Testament prophet in America. And you know how many people have left? out of that 20 people, those 20 people are still in the ministry. Only a few, two or three. The rest all fell into sin. My dear brother and sister, I want to emphasize this. Character is more important than the anointing. You can have so much anointing and power, and you can wave the hand and people fall under the power, but if you have no character, you will not last that long. You will be gone one day. Therefore, we need to have character. We need to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit if we want to serve God to the end. Character is important. Amen.
Amen.
So this year, 2006, let's focus that we're going to grow in character to become Christ's disciple, to become like Christ. You think it's a good deal?
Yes.
You think it's a good commitment?
Yes.
That we're going to grow up more in our character. How many people agree with me?
Amen.
That we're going to grow more. Amen. But you know, while you're growing in your character, if you fall down, don't be discouraged. Get up again and go on again. Don't quit. Don't leave the church. Don't throw a towel. Just say, God, I can rise up again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lately, God deals with me about one thing that I struggle all this year. One of the characters God is dealing with me right now. How many people want to know? One. You want to know, huh? You want to know my personal life too much. One thing that God deals with me, and I make a commitment to God that I will do this. In Matthew, the Bible says, bless those who hurt you, those who persecute you, pray for them and bless them. I make a decision this year that whoever persecute me, say bad thing about me, I will bless them and pray for them and go and do good to them.
Amen.
That is Christ's character. Amen. I used to, you know, one of the reasons I practiced Taekwondo to third degree black belt, and I still remember all those kicks, side kick, front kick, flying kick, round kick, back kick, I know all of them and I can do it.
Amen.
Still. Because when I was young, if anyone touched me, I'm going to have to do something. That's my character. I like to take revenge, but I don't think that is Christ's character. Christ's character is to love people unconditionally. And do good to your enemies. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, what will be your fruit this year? What will be the foundation of your life? Number three, the third question. What is the function of your life? What, everyone say function.
Function.
What is the function of your life? Why you're on earth here? In other words, if I make it so simple, what is the ministry of your life? What you are called to do in the church. What kind of gift you have. You need to live your life serving God and serving one another.
Amen.
Amen. Find out your gifts. Find out your experiences. Find out your heart desire, your passion. Find out your natural ability. This year I want to see more people rise up to serve the Lord. Get involved. Every member should serve the Lord in the church. Serve one another in the church. Everyone should have a ministry. Get involved. You know, some of you may be called to minister to a specific group of people. Like Sister PJ. Pastor PJ. Minister to the youth. And you can see the fruit of her life right now, the ministry that she raised up the youth to the point that they can become a worship team. And they all love God and fear God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can see that all of us have ministry. Like Millard has the ministry to help to get all the, what do you call? Help me. The media, yeah, media. Thank you. The media. The website, PowerPoint, the new PowerPoint system, that is his calling. Thank God for Millard, for Henry, and for Phil to set up the website for the church.
Amen.
We all have ministry. Amen. Some of us may have a burden for the family group. Next year, we're gonna start a family ministry, family care group.
Amen.
That we will meet together. Twice a month or something like that. And have a big ministry have a clear children program. I'm talking about like a care group, but come together and do together, work together as a team. That's next year goal, that we want to have the family ministry rise up. All the kids will not sit around watching TV and movie during care group anymore. But they're going to have some function together, and the parents will help each other. Whoever want to join will do together as a team. Everyone get involved in the ministry. Amen. I pray that you all will find your function and ministry in the church. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 12. I'm saying next year, actually this year. I say it wrong. This year, year 2006. My mind is still in year 2005. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. My dear brother and sister, God wired you, created you to be so unique, to be so special, that you can do something unique for God that nobody else can do. Is that right? You need to find that unique things in your life and get involved and start to use your gift and your ability and your time, your experiences to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Find out that what group of people you like to minister to. Find out that what group you like to be involved with. Amen. Find out what is the passion in your heart. What is your passion? Is your passion for prayer? Then get involved with a prayer group. Your passion, like Cha, Sister Cha, her passion is evangelism. She get involved with Pastor Da for evangelistic ministry. She went out to knock door every week, get people saved every week. That is evangelistic passion. Amen. And my passion as a pastor is to see you become more like Christ. So I prepare all day, I prepare the teaching all day, all night. I sit in front of my computer, find the food to feed the sheep. I try to cook good steak for you every Sunday. Amen. I try to make sure that you get good food. Not only sushi and steak. Amen. But good spiritual food, because I want you to grow. That's why we produce all this CD. So that you can go back and listen again and again. I don't want to preach the same sermon again and again. So just put in the CD and you can listen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we all have different heart desire, the passion and the gifting. The Bible says that if you do that, what happened in John chapter 15 verse 16, I commission you to go out and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. If you do, if you serve God according to your gift, serve people in the church, do whatever you can, the best you can, that fruit gonna last for eternity. I want to tell you right now, the only institution in the world, there are a few institutions in the world. Number one, government. Number two, workplace. Number three, institution of family. And number four, the institution of the church or kingdom of God. The only institution, sometimes I complain to Pastor Dada, it's too bad, huh? When we go to heaven, we cannot be husband and wife. Because there is no husband and wife in heaven. Are you glad? Are you sad? I'm sad that I cannot be her husband anymore in heaven. Because the institution of family will be gone in heaven. But the only institution that will last for eternity is the church. The church of Jesus Christ gonna be in heaven forever. And if you put your energy to build the church, it will last for eternity. Amen. That's why I enjoy building the church and serving God in the church. That's the third question. What is your function? Do you find your function in the church yet? What you get involved in the church? What God called you to do? Find it out this year. Year 2006. Amen. Number four, the fourth question. What is the message of your life? I believe that God doesn't give you a mouth. Thank God one mouth. Not two mouths. Some people need half mouth, speak too much. God gives you a mouth not only to eat. Lately, I watch my weight carefully. I don't want to eat too much. Because during the holiday season, eat and eat and eat and eat and food and eat and eat. Oh, yesterday I ate good beef. Oh, so good. So, but I had to stop. God doesn't give us mouth just to eat. God doesn't give us mouth just to gossip and to say negative things. God gives us mouth to speak a message for God.
Amen.
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 Jesus said, go into all the world and tell. How do you tell? Your mouth. You need to have a message of your life. Year 2006, I want to encourage you to have four kinds of messages for your life. The message is not a bad news. Oh, you know, that day somebody died. No. Not bad news message. I want you to present four messages to people around you. God wants to send you out of the four walls of the church to tell the lost soul out there the message of God. You will be a mouthpiece of God. What is your message? Number one, the message of the gospel. Everyone should be trained how to present the gospel to people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you know how to present the gospel to people? If you don't know, come to me, I will tell you. Simple. Everyone needs to learn how to present the gospel. Number two, the message of your testimony. How you become a Christian. Everyone should be able to tell people how you become a Christian. Number three. The message of what God has done for your life. Amen. I know that what God has done for me. I've been praying for 22 plus years that God will give me and Da a godly son-in-law. And God did. Amen. Brendan is the answer to my prayer. Amen. Have you prayed for your children? That they will have godly spouse. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is the message. You can tell people what God did for you. We're excited about that. You don't need to dilute the message. You don't need to twist the message. You just tell what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. You, every one of you, God has done. Some of you, God healed you. Is that right? Some of you, God bless your business. Go tell people. Hey, God bless my business. Amen. God bring my customer in. God take care of me. Tell people. That is the message from your mouth. Amen. Another message is the passion that God has given to you. Amen. You know what is my passion? I'll tell you right now. My passion is to see as many souls as we can saved come into the church, becoming like Christ and get touched by the fire of God and be filled with the word of God. I want to see every member of the church get filled with the fire, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, on fire for God. Love God. Oh, just fall in love with Jesus. I don't like religion. I don't like tradition. I hate religion because religion destroys Christianity. I want the Holy Spirit because only Holy Spirit can get people to fall in love with God again. Human beings tend to put God into religion. Do this and that and that and that according to tradition. I don't want tradition. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. My passion is to see revival in the church. Is to see people get on fire for God. My passion, I'm a what you call arsonist. You know arsonist mean? What does it mean, arsonist? Catch. I like to dump people into the fire and burn them with the fire of God. Every time I see the fire of God touch people and they shake and they fall and they get touched and burn demon out of them, burn sickness out of them, and they rise up and say, I love Jesus. I'm on fire right now. Oh, I was smiling and happy. I like to see people get burned by the fire of God. Amen. That's my passion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what is your message? The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You know, I want to talk to the parents in this room. It's your responsibility. Listen carefully, mom and dad. It's your responsibility to raise your kids up to preach the message of God. You and your family need to serve God together. If one of my kids do not come to church, do not come to serve God, I would do everything under the sun to get him back. It's my total responsibility, not the pastor, not the church. Dad need to get your kids to love God. Last night when Paul went to bed, I went in and lay hand on him and prayed, God, this man going to serve God better than me. This man going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This man going to love the Word of God. I don't care what I see right now, but my goal is to see my kids and my children love God and serve God all the days of their life.
Amen.
And I pray for Tanida and Brendan and Joy and all the kids in this church. Amen.
Amen.
Me, I and my household will serve the Lord. We will preach the gospel. We will bring the message of the love and the reconciliation of God to the world. It's our job, parents. All the parents say,
Amen.
Amen. It's not the job of the Sunday school teacher. It's your job.
Amen.
Don't push the responsibility to somebody else. You are the one who need to bring the kids into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, if my legs are not hang in the hospital, my kids gonna be in the church every Sunday. No if and or but. No excuses. My kids have to sit in the church every Sunday and serve the Lord together with me.
Amen.
Amen. If they don't want to come, I'm gonna sit them down and look at the eyes and say, for example, this is my daughter. I'm serious. Sit them down. Look at their eyes. Parents, don't just, whatever will be. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. No! Sit them down. Look at their eyes with love. Daughter, Thani da lao ha prasit. Joy lao ha prasit. Thani da A now. I'm sorry. Tanida A. Joy Lao Haprasit. Dad wants you to serve God with me. Get out of the bed on Sunday. Go to church. And if they don't do it, next week, sit down, look at their eyes again. No, no. I'm not mean to them. But you know, sometimes people need that. People need to just look in their eyes and say, this is what Dad want to see.
Amen.
Don't sing that song. Quesila, sila. Whatever will be, will be.
Amen.
Get every kid of your house. Serve God. Live their life for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
I challenge you today in the name of Jesus. Yes, definitely. I want to say this. Are you okay? It's only 11 o'clock. So I have a long time to preach today. I want to say this. Even though God created your mouth to preach the message of God, the gospel, how you become a Christian, how God helped you, and your passion that God gave into your heart. I know that Sister Candace has a passion to reach out to the homeless people down in downtown Seattle. That is her passion. Amen. The Wayne has a passion for the mission. I know that. We all have the passion. We need to speak it up. But make sure that your life, your daily life, match up with your message that come from your mouth.
Amen.
That's why the Bible say in Philippians chapter 1 verse 27, only let your conduct, everyone say conduct, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our conduct must match, must be worthy of what we preach.
Amen.
If I preach love, But when I go home, I yell to my wife, I kick my wife, I elbow my wife like this, like Thai boxing. I don't think my message will match with my conduct. We need to live our life that match with our conduct. If we preach the message of love, let's love. Love people. Amen. If we preach the good news, have the good news. Don't go to people with a sad face. Oh, God is good. Oh, I'm in trouble again. Bad news. Amen. We need to preach the good news and have good news on your face. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's number four. What is your message? Go home and think about it. What is your message? Can you share the gospel? How do you get saved? What God has blessed me in the past years? Thank God that God blessed Jenny. Get the good job now. Praise God. You can tell people. So financially you're better now. Amen. God is good. Amen. That is your message for year 2005. Now the last one. Five questions. Number five, where is your community? Where is your community? You know, whatever community you are in, you will be like them. Yeah. I can tell you right now, as a doctor, I sit in my office. When people come into my office, and they start to talk to me, I can tell right away what church they come from. You know why? I look at it, Christian, okay. Somebody may say some denomination. I can tell right almost at the spot what kind of church they come from, because their lifestyle look like their community. Where is your community? Every one of us need a community. We cannot just run away and live by ourselves and don't get involved with other people. God created us to be with one another, each other. The Bible used the word one another and each other almost 27 times in the New Testament. Actually more than 27, not almost, more than 27 times. So, God wants us to have a community. That's why the Bible says one another, each other. And you know what is the community? I hope that it's not a nightclub. It's not the pool club. No, what do you call it? Shooting pool. You go there, the what? Pool hall? Okay. Or not some... Thank you. Whatever. Oh, I hope that your community is not the poker game. You go and play poker every day with somebody. Your community should be your church. A church that fully follow Jesus Christ. Follow the word of God and welcome the Holy Spirit. The community of love, that people love one another. You know, if you can pull out a stethoscope and put a stethoscope on the heart of Jesus and listen, you will not hear poop poop, poop poop, systolic, diastolic, poop poop, poop poop. You will hear Jesus say, my church, my church, my church, my congregation, my sheep, my people, my children. He loved his church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Amen. Christ loved his church. He loved the church so much. If you want God's favor in your life, how many people want God's favor? I want God's favor. You know, God's favor means whatever you touch is successful. He opened the right door, meeting the right people. People call you. Oh, this happened, the favor of God. I tell you right now, you cannot compete with people with the favor of God. Amen. I know I have the favor of God. Every day I wake up and God tell me, I love you so much, son. I love you and Da so much. I say, why, God? Sometimes I ask him, even though I know the answer. I know the answer. He say that because you have been taking care of my church all this 18 years without pulling back, without being lukewarm, without complaining. Amen. You look after my church. My dear brother and sister, this is the key of walking a life of purpose, living your life for a community of God. Bless the church, living for the church. Amen.
Amen.
If you're going to give something to the church, don't give junk.
Amen.
Don't give leftover. Oh, I have been using this TV box for 10 years. Now I don't want it. I want to buy a plasma. Therefore, the church should get this 10 years old TV box. You are giving the King of all kings the leftover? No, give that plasma to church.
Amen.
You use the TV box.
Amen.
Amen. Give the best to God.
Amen.
Amen. And God is going to give you favor. I cannot explain to you how much Jesus loved the church. And if you live your life for the church, God is going to stand up in heaven and look at you and smile and say, "Whoo! Whatever he wants, I give him."
Amen.
And a blank check with my signature, whatever he wants. I sign it and he can put in the number. You like to have that kind of blank check? That somebody sign and then you can put in any number in there. That's what God gonna do for you. Whatever you ask, you remember Jesus say in John, he say like this, if you obey me and listen to me, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you and your joy will be complete. That is serious. God serious that whatever you ask, God will answer you because you live your life to fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's my decision. I make a decision that I'm going to live my life to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now you may ask this question. Pastor, you talk about message, about function, about fruit, what kind of my fruit, who I'm going to be like, who is the center of my life. You never talk about, you never teach me who I should marry to. You never teach me how to find a job, what kind of school I should go to. I tell you right now, those things are secondary.
That's right.
If you find the clear purpose, eternal purpose of God, everything else, you make decision according to those purposes. Amen?
Yes.
Do you know why I bought that house in Bellevue? I tell you the reason now. We like so many houses in the city, actually. We like many. I tell you right now, we love waterfront house.
Amen.
And we can afford it. I like to have a boat. I like to have a ski boat. Oh, I can do it as a doctor. But we decided to move to that house in Bellevue because number one, we see, okay, have a lot of parking spot so people can come have meeting in my house. We don't have to bother the neighbors. Two, we have the upper room, the bonus room that the kids can go up and have a meeting up there. We have enough space for meeting. Not only that, everyone can reach to my house easily. They don't have to drive for 10 hours to come to the pastor house with the gate community where people cannot get in. We move out from the gate community house because we want to be open for people can come and visit us at the right timing though. Don't come at midnight. Amen. All this decision, where you're going to work, who are you going to marry to? Everything will revolve around the eternal purpose of God.
Amen.
You know what? If you can live this kind of life, according to what Paul say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4, look at what he say. Our purpose is to please God, not people.
Amen.
If you can live your life that way, God will be on your side. God will do marvelous thing for you. Everyone say, my purpose is to please God, not people. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. Our goal is to measure up to God's plan for us. Our goal is to measure up. Not pull God down. Oh God, bless my plan. Oh, I have a plan for my life. Just bless me. No. You measure up to God's plan, to God's purpose. Not to pull God down to your level, but you go up to God's level. Amen. I want to end this sermon by talking about a man in the Bible. This man I honor so much. And this is what the Bible say about him in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. The Bible says, David served God's purpose in his generation. Amen. Can we change the name there? Paul served God's purpose. Paul and Kim served God's purpose in their generation. Amen. Shai Chan and Donna served God's purpose in their generation. Now I understand why God called David a man after God's own heart. This man came, named King David, his whole generation, since he grew up to the day he died, he lived his life for the purpose and the plan of God. So one day after I leave the world, I hope that the people will chisel on my tomb a man who lived for God's purpose for his generation.
Amen.
I don't want anything else. I don't want people to call me Dr. Lau and that and pastor. I don't care about title. I just want God to say to me, this man, he point finger. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run through and fall throughout the whole earth. And he make himself strong for those whose heart is loyal to him. I want his eye to catch on me and hook that man. This man live his life for the purpose of God in his generation. My dear brother and sister, I want to challenge you this. No one else can do what God wants to do in this generation except you. You were born for such a time as this. As Esther became the queen of that city, of that nation, to save the children of Israel from calamity. She was born for such a time as this. You were born, God put you in Seattle not by accident. God, you were born in this generation not by accident. You were born for such a time as this. You need to rise up and embrace the purpose of God, which are eternal, and run the race with God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and His Word, and fulfill the vision of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I challenge you today, my beloved, that you will be that kind of people in this house. Look at what Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. He say like this in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. It means to live is for Christ and to die is gain. Can you say the same thing? You live on this earth for this generation. I mean, next generation gonna come. Paul and, Saray and Tristan and Michael, Alexander, this next generation gonna come. But we are living in this generation to fulfill that generation. We're gonna run with goal, with purpose. And we're gonna live for Christ, for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you right now that one day, man's history will come to a close, or to an end. But eternity will continue forever. Therefore, don't be discouraged. Live your life for eternal purpose of God. And this is what God promised you who live your life for God this way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Whatever suffering you are facing right now for Christ, the glory of God, the blessing, the eternal rewards in heaven will be far greater than what you are going through right now.
Amen.
On that day, when we all, New Hope International Church, standing before the King of all kings at the white great throne and at the judgment seat of Christ. We will be able to say together, grab hand, join hand together. You and I, we together will be able to say like this, God, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. And we live our life, the creation of God, to give you glory and honor and blessing. Amen. Is that your goal? Is that your purpose for year 2006, 2007, 2008, until Jesus returns? I pray that five things that I mentioned today will be your purposes. Amen? Amen. How many people want to do that? Raise your hand up. Let us pray together. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for your revelation, for the understanding that you have given to the body of Christ. Lord, this message is given to many parts of the body of Christ. And we are part of the body of Christ. We want to take a hold of the purpose of God into this church. We want, Lord, to have Christ as a center. We want to become disciple, developing the spiritual character to become like Christ from glory to glory. Father, this year, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that we all will find our ministry, our function in the body of Christ. We will have the message to tell the lost world how Christ loved them and how Christ is the answer to them. Father, we also will be committed to a local church, the community of God, building your community, Father. Love your church as Christ loved her. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray that every one of us, one day after we leave this world, we will be called like King David. This person lived for God's purpose in his or her generation. And he is the man after God's own heart. She is a woman after God's own heart. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name to seal this commitment by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, that no one in this church will backslide, will walk away from God's purpose, that will live their life fully for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,